This is a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
The R1 News Headlines.
This is the R1 News Bulletin for Friday the 10th of May. I'm Amy.
And I'm Gabby. In university news, students, faculty and some alumni at the University of Canterbury have written an open letter to its Chancellor and Vice-Chancellor, calling for UC to divest from Israel and to support the people of Palestine, drawing links between the Israeli colonisation of Palestine and the colonisation of Aotearoa. The letter calls for boycotts, divestments and sanctions, including ending collaborations and licences with weapons manufacturers Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman and Babcock for Israel, as well as ending contracts with Hewlett-Packard. The letter also demands the severance of connections with Israeli universities and funds invested in weapons systems for Israel. As well as UC showing solidarity with the people of Palestine through emergency visas and an increase of refugees, as well as scholarships provided to students from Palestine. The letter also demands that UC students involved in any supportive action for Palestine will not have any disciplinary action taken against them. University of Canterbury Students for Justice in Palestine also drew attention to the matter. At the University of Canterbury STEM Careers Fair in the campus's core engineering building. The group unfurled a Palestinian flag with the word divest painted on the central white stripe, about 5 metres tall, from a balcony overlooking the fair. This comes off the back of Trinity College Dublin's agreement to divest from Israel firms after a student protest, The Guardian reports. Staff and students of the University of Canterbury of Otago have also issued an open letter to our university.
In national news, New Zealand nurses declare a day of action, with rallies taking place across the country in more than 20 locations. Melania Watson and Alice Wilkins of News Hub report. On the 9th of May, members of the New Zealand Nurses Organisation, NZNO, held rallies as part of the National Day of Action 2024. These rallies came just a few days after around 2,500 junior doctors completed a 25-hour strike from 7 a.m. Tuesday to 8 a.m. Wednesday. The doctor's strike was due to being understaffed, undervalued and underpaid, whilst the NZNO announced that their action was due to information from Te Whatu Ora revealing the full scale of New Zealand's unsafe staffing levels. Nurses are concerned about the ratio of staff to patients, as they believe that patients aren't able to be looked after safely. This has been an issue for a long time, with strikes and rallies having occurred over the past few years, but nurses believe that it has now reached the crisis point. The Official Information Act from Te Whatu Ora revealed that over a quarter of nursing shifts didn't reach safe staff ratios, with some departments working below safe levels consistently. There needs to be more qualified nurses to be able to reach the correct level, but many nurses don't complete their studies due to financial constraints. Many students have dropped out because they are not able to afford to work full-time on an unpaid placement to complete their degrees. With the government's budget to be announced later in May, nurses and healthcare assistants are calling for safer staffing ratios and health funding to be prioritised in this year's budget. A rally was held outside Dunedin Hospital on Great King Street. Radio 1 reporters saw a group of about 10 people waving flags and banners in support.
In Aotearoa news, 207 motorists in the space of 30 minutes were caught speeding in Dunedin thanks to Transport Minister Simeon Brown's more targeted speed restriction plan. Hamish from McNeely from Stuff NZ reported that last Monday a speed van snapped almost 7 speeders every minute, to the dismay of Senior Sergeant Carl Hemmingson. The reversal of the previous Labor government's speed restrictions in favour of a more targeted approach, such as variable speed limits around school pickup and drop-offs, is Brown's approach to boost economic growth and improve road safety, enabling Kiwis to get where they want to go quickly and safely. What else will be added? Well, with Waka Tohahi Kotahi's ready to roll out all of New Zealand's mobile cameras, as well as 150 fixed-speed cameras from police, we can expect a vast increase in speed cameras, increases to 110 kilometres on expressways, as well as these variable speed limits, where safe, NZ reports. Brown adds that later this year, we will also publish new objectives for road safety, which focus on safer roads, safer drivers and safer vehicles. This will target the highest contributing factors in fatal road crashes, particularly alcohol and drugs.
Four mates from Whanganui ended up splitting a Trade Me purchase of a 39-foot crayfish boat located in Dunedin. Eva De Jong from the Whanganui Chronicles reports on the adventure. A night at a pub in Whanganui ended with four friends purchasing a 39-foot crayfish boat between them. However, the boat was located in Dunedin, which was a 55-hour boat voyage away. One of the men, Aaron Littlefair, had not viewed the boat before purchase, but said that it didn't take much convincing after consuming five or six jugs. The purchasing of the boat was easy enough. Two of the men were skilled in boat building, so they were able to touch it up without any issues. It was the 55-hour journey back from Dunedin's Port Chalmers that was difficult. Rough northerly winds on the Sunday afternoon made the Cook Strait journey sharp, lumpy and sloppy. Water made its way into the berth, soaking the mattresses, and the friends had to deal with a blocked toilet. The men said that they were exhausted after the journey, and with the boat docked waiting for its next fishing trip, they were ready for some beers.
Internationally, on Sunday the 5th of May, brothers Lachlan and Stephen Lamble finished their epic and inspiring race across Australia, covering 3,400 kilometres in 85 days, the first brothers to do so in history. Running from Perth to Melbourne, cheered on by their 539,000 followers on their joint account, Lambro's Army, between the 11th of February and this past Sunday. Their motivation? The fight against cancer. After losing their grandma to the disease, the brothers were inspired to do their bit to raise awareness and money for the Cancer Research Australia Foundation. So far, the brothers have raised over $203,000 Australian dollars for their cause, passing their initial goal of $100,000. Fighting copious injuries and the physical, mental toll of their massive undertaking, the brothers' continuous message has been determination and admiration for the strength of those fighting cancer. CRAF data says that 2 in 5 Australians will be diagnosed with cancer before 85, whilst almost half of all New Zealanders will get cancer in their life, stated by the Christchurch Cancer Foundation.
This has been the R1 News Bulletin for Friday the 10th of May. Today's bulletin was written by Gabby Scott and Amy Martin and read to you by Gabby Scott and Amy Martin.
That was the R1 News headlines. Catch up at r1.co.nz/news or find us at Radio 1 91 FM on Twitter or R1 News NZ on Instagram and tune in to R1 News on weekdays.
Thanks for listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. There are heaps more at r1.co.nz.